Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Jeff and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light, so bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation gave them superhuman insight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. The world's only podcast. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my co-host, Jeff Baer.
Hello, I'm Jeff Baer. That was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder. Welcome to the show.
It's summertime. Is it summertime yet in San Diego where you live?
No.
No?
It's not. It's a little bit dreary.
Oh.
I think the high today is 70, and it's cloudy. It's cloudy, so.
Well, in Portland, it's lovely.
I heard it's going to be too hot tomorrow, not tomorrow, Saturday, which is tomorrow sometimes.
Yeah. it's going to be like 83 or something. That's not too hot.
Too hot.
That's fine. Anything under 90 is fine, as far as I'm concerned.
Are you talking about potential mates or the temperature? That's no good.
No.
I don't know what
I'm
saying.
You want to do that one again?
Yeah, let's take it from the top.
All right. Hey, we don't have any new iTunes reviews this week to read, but let's mention, if you write us an iTunes review, we'll read it on the show. And then another thing to mention, the Perpetual Lunch Fund.
The Perpetual Lunch Fund. Perpetual Lunch Fund.
Or the PLF.
Let's not abbreviate.
Just call it the PLF.
There's no reason to abbreviate it.
If you go to moviebs.com, there's a link there. And it's just if you want to buy us lunch. Maybe you enjoy the show. Maybe you don't enjoy the show, but you think we sound hungry.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe you think food would be a good distraction for us to not do the show.
There you go. Yeah, whatever.
Get us away from it a little bit.
Whatever reasoning you may have for wanting to buy us lunch, you can do that. And if you contribute at least $25, you get to sponsor the show.
What if one day we're in walking distance from each other? Wouldn't that be weird?
That would be weird.
Be weird.
Well, you know, my neighborhood is getting all gentrified. You guys could totally buy a house.
Is it really?
No, they have. I wish I could show you. I would have to like go outside with my laptop and the camera and show you. But like just in my like within like a 5-block radius of me, several old houses have been torn down and new houses built up and condos and stuff. They are gentrifying the crap out of this neighborhood.
Because a year ago, like bullets were flying by, Sue. That was your neighborhood.
Yeah. Did you just call me Sue?
Yeah. Isn't that the line from Swingers, or am I wrong?
I don't know.
It's not like you grew up in Compton, Sue, with bullets flying by. I think that was it.
Okay.
I think his name is Sue.
All right. No, that's true. A year ago, there were bullets, but now they have gentrified the bullets out of here. Or they're working on it anyway. What was that about? Why are we talking about that?
I don't know. Let's talk about movies, man.
All right. San Andreas.
San Andreas.
I grew up in Southern California, as you know, and earthquakes were a fun part of life. They were, because...
Oh, are you being serious?
I am being serious.
For you, they were a fun part of it. For others, maybe they didn't feel that way.
Some people maybe were more terrified, but
it was all joy.
Well,
you would think of an earthquake.
And a lot of us, because they were relatively common and usually didn't cause any damage, that's just like, oh, all right, that's exciting. And then now and then you'd have one where people would die, and that sort of killed the buzz.
I lived in L.A. in 99, and I experienced at least one earthquake, and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I liked it. I was renting. I had, rental and try. Like, there was no – I had no stake in the game
That's
if there
the
was
thing.
A big one.
It's a lot like a roller coaster. If you trust the roller coaster that you're not going to die on it, then it's just fun. But if you think, this was set up by, like, carnies – and there might be bolts missing, then you're a little nervous and it's a little terrifying.
Right.
San Andreas about earthquakes. That was my point. San Andreas, that's the big fault, runs up California. I think they got their earthquake information pretty accurate in the movie. It seemed to me that they were going out of their way at times to present accurate earthquake information.
Yes, the role of Paul Giamatti presenting earthquake information, besides the fact that, you know, they had now broken the code, the earthquake code.
To predict them, yeah.
To predict them. And now they could predict earthquakes minutes before they can happen. Minutes, people.
And not only did they discover how to predict them, they discovered how to predict them like 5 seconds after Paul Giamatti said, "We got to find a way to predict them." And then the next scene, hooray, we did it. That thing that we just said we need to do, we did it.
And it was pretty convenient to predict them right before the biggest one ever. But that was just convenient.
There was a small moment where the ground began to shake at Caltech where Paul Giamatti is, and someone goes for the doorway, and he pulls that person away from the doorway to under a table, which is true. That's the new thinking on earthquake safety. In the old days, when buildings were weak, doorway made sense. Now it makes more sense.
Well, in the old days, we used to say the Richter scale back in the old days. Now it's magnitude, people. It's been that way for years.
I prefer Richter scale.
No, it's obsolete.
I still say Richter scale.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's obsolete.
That's named after Andy Richter. It started as a fat joke.
Yeah,
with Andy Richter. That's probably why they moved away from it.
You're never going to guess this, guys, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson plays the best of the best. Nobody's a better rescue chopper pilot than this guy. Mm-hmm. Nobody. And why does he do it? He does it because they ask him to. That's what he says in an interview in the beginning. I'm just doing my job, ma'am. They tell me where to go.
They probably pay him to, but yeah.
Right. And supposedly he has – was this a little surprising? At one point in the movie, the very beginning, it's like there's these three guys who like do all the rescues together. They were in war together. They are working like crazy. And then there's a disaster and –
Not a disaster. It's a rescue.
Oh, no. I was already past that beginning.
Oh, past that already. Okay, yes.
I'm already past the opening scene rescue, which was interesting.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then Ray – and I don't know, one of the sidekicks.
Is that The Rock? Is that Ray?
That's The Rock. They're like, all right, you should have called in, man. Like, you should have driven your daughter to college. He's like, I got to work. And they're like, go into a copter together or a chopper together. Mm-hmm. And they never – he was alone in a copter. I was shocked.
I don't know what happened to those guys.
I totally don't know what happened. Because I was like, wait, they're in the back, right? They're going to jump out and rescue somebody any second now.
We were discussing this after. We think there may have been a moment because he then was going to take the chopper to go save his soon-to-be ex-wife from the roof of the restaurant building.
Right.
And he told her to bring people to the roof. And we think there was a moment where he emptied his copter to make room for potential.
I don't think that.
We think there was something like that, but we were
my
not sure.
This is my best guess. All of the LA people that were going east to help out around the Hoover Dam, spoiler alert, something happens to the Hoover Dam. All of them were individually taking copters over there. That would have been my hunch as far as like if we were to sit them down and say, hey, What happened here?
Yeah.
That's my potential.
That would make sense. All right. You know, it's true that Ray is the best of the best. He's best at rescuing. However, he is terrible at his job as a member of the LA Fire Department because what happens...
Yeah, because he's the most boring loose cannon of all time.
Well, here's what happens. So there's an earthquake. Paul Giamatti and friends, they detect an earthquake right before it happens at Hoover Dam. And now they realize, okay, we can predict these. And then what do you know? Like the next day, they're like, oh, now this new prediction thing we found, it's saying there's going to be like giant earthquakes here in LA all the way up the coast on the San Andreas Fault.
For the record, at one point later on, I know we're jumping ahead, but at one point a reporter says like, thank goodness for Paul Giamatti's technology and his alerts. We should have been listening to him.
People didn't listen or something, she said.
Did Paul Giamatti tell everybody at some point and nobody listened?
I don't know when people didn't listen. He said there's going to be one, and then there was one 5 minutes later. I think people did listen in that 5 minutes.
Just the people in his office, right?
Maybe she meant like in general, you've been warning about earthquakes and people haven't listened. But again, nobody doubts there are going to be big earthquakes. But what are we supposed to do about it?
Well, here's the big surprise in this movie that nobody saw coming. Riddick is in this movie. And he's kind of Ray's adversary. So you got Riddick from Riddick. Remember those Pitch Black movies? Riddick. Yeah. Vin Riddick. Diesel's character.
Right.
That's the guy that he's the architect. His name's Riddick. I'm assuming that it's like a prequel or something, right?
Oh, his last name is Riddick. Yeah, Daniel. Daniel Riddick, yeah.
So here's the thing. There has to be some sort of awareness with that, right? I know it's stupid for me to care. It does not matter in the least.
I'm sure they're Riddick, aware Riddick that Riddick is a character in some other movies, yes.
And but then, like, not only it's Vin Diesel's character, they're co-stars in Fast and Furious. There's supposedly there's a little rift between them, and that's why they don't shoot together all that much.
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've heard. Oh, I've heard that. Oh. That's a rumor.
Well, if you've heard it, then.
Yep. But anyway, I just thought that was funny that, like, Riddick was, like, the can we say douche on this show?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, he was a bit of a douche.
Yeah, he was the douche.
Yeah.
And, you know he's got to be the douche because he is the new boyfriend of The Rock's soon-to-be ex-wife. So he has to be a douche.
No, because they go out of the way in the beginning to kind of be like, oh, he's not going to be the douche. And then given the first opportunity, actually second opportunity to be a douche, he definitely does. Because in the airplane, when he and his girlfriend's daughter, Blake, who's Ray's daughter, when they're on the airplane, he's like, hey, I am not trying to replace your dad. I would never do that. I respect you. Like, let's just have a good time.
Yeah, that's exactly what a douche would say. Because before that, when we first meet him, his house is too nice. This movie shorthand. He's got a house. He's an architect. Architects are always douches. He's bragging about this tall building he's making in San Francisco.
If women know anything, it's get a divorce. Like, if women watching movies, especially these guy movies, disaster movies, whatever, divorce your man right now, you will get close to marrying up, and then your man will fix all of his flaws from previously and come and sweep you off your feet. That's what happens.
Carla Gugino plays his ex-wife, by the way. I like
her. She's fine in this. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like her too. I didn't know Alexandra
Daddario?
Daddario. I didn't know her. She's
been in stuff.
But I had looked it up. She was in the Percy Jackson stuff. Although I don't remember her chest being in those movies. Whereas it was a bit unforgettable in this movie.
She was she was in True Detective, and I think she was naked in True Detective. I recall that being the buzz.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Wow, that was her. Anyway, let's focus.
So there's earthquakes, and earthquakes and people – a lot of people die, but the movie doesn't care about that.
Well, hang on. Do you have any clue how many people we saw die?
It would be thousands. Many
thousands. No, but like – it was always from a distance, or it was like second of them getting swept away. So we actually didn't feel – we saw tons and tons of disaster with very limited casualty that we actually experience on the screen, which is weird because this is massive. Right. And it's almost – for me, it's too massive on scale.
It's the same as like 2012 and those other kind of movies where stuff – things happen in which surely thousands of people must die, but we can't show it or else it wouldn't be rated PG-13. If we show the actual human cost of this devastation, it would be too graphic. And
the impossible this is not.
Yes.
And the problem with that too is The Impossible or any war movie or anything else like that, based on a true story, does carry some weight in those situations. Because here what you have is very manipulative drama about Ray lost one daughter. He can't lose the next.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's just overkill. We don't actually need Emma and Ray to be going through a divorce. Like, that didn't need to
exist.
None
of that is useful. And every time they talked about the relationship and stuff, I wanted to get back to the earthquakes.
Well, and it would have been enough to be like, our marriage is rocky because you won't talk about a daughter we lost.
Mm-hmm.
That would be enough. And then you never talk about it. Or go deeper with this character of Ray, who is so vanilla, it's ridiculous, and actually have him like suffer from post-traumatic stress or like whatever the case may be, or a little anxiety.
The only reason they had a daughter who died was so that they could have their other daughter now be in the exact same sort of peril. So there would be suspense, and I use the word loosely, over whether the second daughter will die the exact same way the first daughter died. Because for sure that would happen in a movie.
And that way, not only can Ray be the hero, but he can supposedly make amends for...
Redeem himself.
Mm-hmm. Even though he didn't need to. And yeah, that's all uncomfortable. The visual effects are really good. There's some set pieces that are really good that don't look like CGI.
Yeah. They did a really good job, I think, making it look like everything's falling apart.
I'm not going to get into the details of the ending unless you want to, but the ending really felt manipulative and wrong and uncomfortable. And
which aspect of it? Do you mean the aspect where they're looking at it? You know, things have settled now. We're in the FEMA has shown up and we're recovering. And they're like, what now? And they look out, and then we see this big American flag waving for no reason. American flag comes out of nowhere, just unfurling in the breeze. And he says, now we rebuild.
Because we're America.
That's what this movie's about. Yeah, other countries don't rebuild.
Nope,
they have an earthquake, and they just curl up and die. They give up.
I'm talking about that ending, and I'm talking about the ending with rescuing Blake. Because they really go for as a somewhat newish parent, like the worst thing to do is to see your kids suffer in any way.
Right.
And the extent that they go to create the suffering in this one, I just didn't care for.
Well, I didn't think it was excessive or uncomfortable, but it's certainly narratively unnecessary since they've already telegraphed to us that she's not going to die.
Right.
They've already indicated.
Yes.
You can take that to the bank, 100%. This character is not going to die. So just give it a rest, save her life, and get on with it.
One thing I thought they did somewhat well was, again, Blake, the daughter. She has her eyes set on this British boy named Ben, and his younger brother, Ollie, is along for the ride. And she is normally getting them out of situations as opposed to the guy. And that's nice.
Well, because she's got the dad who's the fire and rescue guy. She knows all the tricks. And plus, also, they're English. How would they know about earthquakes or anything? This is an American thing. Americans solve problems and crises.
Yeah. Once again, I like the idea of Dwayne Johnson, but the application of Dwayne Johnson just doesn't work for me on the big screen again.
What do you mean? He's
He should have been more. It should have been a more interesting character. It really should have.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. I think he's the same as he always is. That he's likable and charming, and the movie is not that good, and the character's not that interesting. But he's likable and charming.
But then he should say something because he's clearly the one that is selling this film.
Yeah,
he should say something. Hey, maybe we should punch up my character a little.
He has no incentive to. He's possibly the most popular movie star in the world. Despite having been in mostly not good movies.
And just jumping on franchises.
Like, why would he need to make his characters any better?
Because I think he's better than this.
Oh, he is. Oh, he definitely is. But he doesn't need to be.
Hey, is this the first time we've seen him cry on screen?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. If you guys know of Dwayne The Rock Johnson crying on screen, let us know.
Yeah, tell us that.
Tell us on Facebook if you want.
By the way, if you're wondering, when the earthquakes hit in L.A. and then they know there's going to be more up in San Francisco, and that's where the daughter has gone. So The Rock abandons his job at L.A. Fire and Rescue, takes an L.A. Fire Department chopper, takes his work vehicle and flies to San Francisco to rescue his daughter. And I kept thinking, you know, The Rock, they got people like you up there in San Francisco. They got fire and rescue guys up there. You don't need to do.
They can't save her like
you
can.
Why don't you stay here and do your job?
That's true. He might even know somebody in San Francisco, and he could probably have been like, "Hey, she's right here, right now. Go grab her."
Yeah, yeah. No, he just takes off. Happen. Very.
Although that way, later in the movie, he was able to trust his gut, so that was good to try to figure out where she was. The biggest mistake this movie possibly made. There was one moment for me, and only one moment, where I could revel in the fun absurdity of and that's when the tsunami. Yeah, there's a tsunami, people.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
Tsunami and a barge. Mm-hmm. There's one moment with a tsunami and a barge dealing with the Rock. And that was, like, over-the-top kind of fun. Otherwise, this is like dramatic disaster porn where it's just kind of like, besides the carnage, like this is what could happen. Look at this destruction. Look at how difficult all of this is. And I didn't think it was fun. There was one point when they were actually at the San Andreas Fault.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the side that was much higher than the other side. They yeah. were in a truck and they didn't jump the fault. I was like, I was appalled by this missed opportunity. And then they got in an airplane and they didn't take it and barely make it out of the fault. They were like, oh yeah, there's a fault. And it was just like, what are you doing? This is jump it. Jump the fault.
So
I wanted more absurdity.
Okay, less realism. Gotcha.
Less realism. Because otherwise it's like if you focus on the realism of this movie, you're just like 3 million, 4 million dead. Like everything's different about America.
It is a little
what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's strange that this is what I thought of while I was watching it. It used to be you could make an entire movie around one building collapsing or about the Golden Gate
yes.
Bridge collapsing.
Yes.
Now those things happen in the background, like in passing, and mm-hmm. It happens over and over again, and we just sort of don't think about it and aren't meant to think about it. And that's weird. But
yes. Yes.
But
thank you. What?
I also really enjoyed most of the action in the movie. I was mostly caught up in it and enjoyed it. I would tense up and things were exciting, and as corny and manipulative as the dialogue is, and all that business, I really had fun with it.
I was rarely bored.
I think
which is weird because I'm just
basically what you would want a disaster movie to be, basically.
And I think I'm at the point where it's like, okay, maybe I don't like disaster movies. It's a 5 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I give it a B.
Yeah.
So that's San Andreas. Yeah, there you go. Good looking destruction, though. Well done on the destruction.
Yeah, it is. CGI works, everybody. CGI works.
All hail CGI. Now, this other movie called Aloha, which is Hawaiian for Shalom, it's by Cameron Crowe, and there was a press screening. A little behind-the-scenes fun story here at the show. There's a press screening here in Portland Tuesday that I just forgot existed. Just totally forgot it. I had put it on my calendar. But the thing is, Monday night, I didn't look at my calendar.
Felt like Sunday night. Did it feel like Sunday night?
No, it wasn't. No, I was thinking, like, I knew the next day was Tuesday. And I thought, do I have anything to do tomorrow? Nope, I don't have a screening or anything. It did not register in my brain that it existed.
Well, here was
so I just forgot to go.
Here's my behind the scenes.
Hmm.
Felt like Sunday night, not Monday night.
Sure.
But then I woke up and I was like, oh yeah, it's Tuesday. I can do this and this and this with Dylan. Let's get started. And then an hour before the screening, the babysitter that I had scheduled texted me and was like, hey, we still on? And I was like, whoa. Hmm. So then I had to drop everything, get back home. And I made it. And I watched it.
Good thing you had that babysitter to remind you.
Yep.
So yep. That's
there we go. That's the behind the scenes of mm-hmm. Aloha.
Now,
so two men wanted to see it. Only one man did. I am that man.
I'm the man who didn't have a babysitter to remind him.
Yeah.
So you know, I hate talking about movies I didn't see.
I know. I know.
I get so bored with it.
Cameron Crowe made Say Anything. He made Jerry Maguire, and he made Almost Famous. And because he did that, every time I sit down for a Cameron Crowe film, which doesn't happen enough, it feels like it's like there's too much space in between his movies. I think, oh, there's possibilities here.
Mm-hmm.
So Aloha.
And then what happens?
You watch the movie. Mm. And then, yeah. It's the We Bought a Zoo problem almost all over again, except it doesn't go for sadness this time. It goes for a little bit more romance as opposed to sadness. It's simply a matter of there's moments, and Cameron Crowe can create moments, but it's not a very cohesive movie. I found myself liking it. I found myself liking the musical choices and blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. and Emma Stone is very interesting. Well, here's the thing. The whole thing takes place in Hawaii. Bradley Cooper is a military contractor who's now gone independent and working for a billionaire, and he's got to come back and kind of woo the people of Hawaii, specifically Hawaiians, because they need their land for a specific reason. He All used right. to have a romance with Rachel McAdams. And
who didn't?
Yeah, there we go. And then there's a Air Force young woman who's outstanding, Emma Stone, who's assigned to like kind of like be on his detail as he's going around and doing all this.
I'm sorry, her Emma Stone's character is named Allison Ng. Is she by any chance Korean or perhaps Vietnamese? Vietnamese, I think, is that name. Is she Vietnamese in this movie, Emma Stone?
She is a quarter Hawaiian.
Oh, sure.
And she explains that constantly. She's she is literally everything. And I don't want to mean like everything you would ever want in a woman. She is everything at all times in this movie. It's almost like she's like hopped up on hyper pills, but it's all kind of enjoyable. And it's she does have a radiance about her. And I enjoyed it, even though I was confused by who she might actually be.
She sounds like a manic pixie dream girl.
Yes. In an Air Force uniform.
All right.
She's the Jackie of all trades. I don't know. It's interesting. And at times the movie forgets about certain characters like Bill Murray, like Rachel McAdams, like John Krasinski's a very odd one here who just like he's stoic and he doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. Danny McBride is actually nicknamed Fingers, and it's a really enjoyable tiny performance. Alec Baldwin has a nice small role. So I liked all of it. But at the end of the day, I definitely didn't need anything with the military. They didn't identify enough with me with the love of space, even though that's an easy thing to fall in love with. Mm-hmm. But I kind of liked these people figuring out their problems, and it's a 6 out of 10 for me, even though it's very messy. And I think We Bought a Zoo, I think I still gave a 6 out of 10 because at one point in We Bought a Zoo, I found myself like bawling my eyes out. Yeah, there's nothing close to tears in this movie, but Cameron Crowe still has a way about him, and even his bad stuff is pretty watchable, in my opinion. So,
yeah. All right. There you go.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. And I'm definitely not smart enough to know whether they're respecting Hawaiian culture or not in this film.
Probably not if Emma Stone plays a Hawaiian.
Well, but at the same point, she's very into the historic culture, and it seems like it's her character who is excited about being a quarter Hawaiian and expressing that to people as opposed to a loophole in the script. That was my perspective of it. So I don't know. But again, I'm not smart enough to speak on it.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. Other people will say things like, "Oof, I don't know." And it's like, well, do you know or do you not know? Are you doing the research or not?
Mm. I guess if you're not Hawaiian, it doesn't really matter what you think about whether it's respectful to Hawaiians.
That's a good point.
And I'm not Hawaiian. Thank goodness.
That's a good point. Wait, why?
They're filthy savages.
Hey!
Just kidding. They are not filthy savages. They're Americans. Hawaiians are Americans, I'll have you know. It's true.
I'm trying to figure out, based on the movie, if that's disrespectful or not. It might be, just so you know. Like hardcore Hawaiians might be. That's what I'm trying to figure out. If they're even annoyed by the inclusion there.
Well, they might not like being Americans, but they are Americans.
Yeah, right.
But I know that technically
they are.
Yeah.
I couldn't live on an island.
Me too. I would feel closed off.
I did. I've been to two different islands there, and after 1 week each time, I felt relief. I enjoyed my vacation very much, but I couldn't live on an island.
Mm-hmm. Hey, question of the week. We're doing a new Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, we are.
For summer blockbusters. And so we asked you guys all to tell us your four favorite summer blockbusters of all time. Usually, we do the Mount Rushmore. Yes, they did.
All right.
In the past with the Mount Rushmores, Jeff has tabulated the results, and I have tried to guess what they were. And I've usually I do a poor job. This time, we pulled the old switcheroo. I've tabulated the results, and Jeff is going to try to guess what they are. And I think that you'll guess them very easily. To me, these seem...
Don't do that. Nobody likes that guy.
But I say that knowing, of course, that I saw what the answers are. But to me, these they feel like the ones that I would have thought.
You were just the person who picked the Trivial Pursuit card out of the deck read the question in his head to himself and goes, oh, so easy.
Right.
Ugh. Right. And then read something that maybe would actually be difficult for some people. And we shouldn't judge what is so easy when somebody else is trying to answer it. Hey, get that pressure off of me. All right. Don't like that pressure.
No pressure. It's going to be very hard to guess because the answers are all over the place.
Ooh, uh-oh, mm-hmm. uh-oh. All right, I'll do my best. So what kind of game have you created for me?
Yeah, because I know competition. You like to make up elaborate competitions. So this is going to be like football, where if you get one right, it'll be worth 6 points. And then if you get another one right that had fewer answers, that'll be 1 point. And if you get one wrong, then that's a strike. And if you get two strikes, then you get a free throw. And
okay. If you're honestly keeping track of this, I'm cool with these rules so far.
Okay. And a free throw constitutes that you get two guesses, but only one of them counts. So if you get one wrong, it doesn't count. It's like you get sort of an extra guess. That's a free throw.
Okay. Okay.
And then eventually I'll just tell you what all the answers are.
Okay. How many different movies did we have?
Different movies. Oh, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 5. About 30 that got two or more votes.
Plus, oh my gosh. 30 that got two or more?
Plus another about 25 that got one vote each.
So I get, wow. Okay.
But I will tell you the top three are very clear.
Clear-cut?
Clear winners, yes.
All right. I was on the elliptical this morning, and I decided to do two things at once. So I brainstormed movies, and I've come up with a master list.
Okay.
Now, do you want me to just swing for the fences right away?
Sure.
Like, do you want me to just nail the Mount Rushmore and be done with it?
Just do that, yes.
Okay. Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Is that the top vote getter?
That is the top vote getter.
I'm so nervous that I might be able to do this.
I told you it was easy.
All right. Okay, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Yes, that is number four.
Oh, number four? Dang it. It
doesn't matter if you get them in order.
I wanted them in order. Raiders.
Raiders is number three.
Jaws.
Number two, yes.
Oh, my!
I told you this was easy. I told you.
It was the hardest thing. It was the hardest thing ever. And I just nailed it. I just nailed it. Unbelievable.
I mean,
all right. I have a bunch of others that I believe got multiple votes.
Okay.
It might be like all of the top ones. This might be. I wrote. Okay. Let's see. What else do I got? I feel way too good about myself right now.
The reason I thought it was easy is that my own personal Mount Rushmore for this category would be three of those four.
You would not include. Wait. When was Star Wars released?
1977.
No. Month.
Oh,
is
May.
It technically?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Of all the answers that people gave, only one was not actually a summer movie. I thought there would be multiple disqualifications.
That's impressive. Wait, which one wouldn't you include?
I would.
Personal.
Personally, I would not include Star Wars, and I would put Anchorman.
Okay. So all right. So others on people's lists.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have short-term memories. A lot of people said Guardians of the Galaxy. I bet.
Two people did.
Oh, only two. The Avengers.
Two for that one.
Okay.
Oh, no, my mistake. Four. Four people said that.
Four. Okay. My personal favorite, Forrest Gump.
No, nobody said Forrest Gump.
Come on, nobody.
Not one person said Forrest Gump.
Oh, that's my first strike. Okay. Independence Day. People said that.
Yeah, eight people said that.
Yep. People better have said this. This would be the only one, because this is in my personal Back to the Future.
That would have been number five. That was fifth place.
Nice. Here's a Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Not as many. That got a few votes. I was surprised it didn't get more.
E.T.?
That got a few, yeah.
Okay. Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm. Up there, same number of votes as Back to the Future and one other. There was a three-way tie for fifth place.
Do you remember how huge that was? Like, that was socially, that felt very significant.
Which one, T2?
Yeah, for our age group at the time. And
I was going to say that same thing.
That
was a big it's a turning point, yeah, for people our age. I remember it.
Yeah. Lion King.
Yes, that got two votes, both of them at the last minute. They got no votes until the very last part.
A stretch. Did I say Top Gun?
You did not. One person said that.
Okay. The Hangover.
No.
All right, I'm out.
do you want to take a guess at what was tied for fifth place along with Back to the Future and T2?
Really? I've missed one.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back.
No, that was a couple places down.
Give me something.
Based on a property that also has another movie that showed up on the list.
Youch. Based on a property?
Or a character. I'll say a character.
A character that's also on the list. I'm drawing a blank.
The Dark Knight.
Oh!
The Dark Knight. Batman 89 also got a few votes. Then you got Empire Strikes Back, Aliens. Aliens, Die Hard.
Die Hard always is confusing that that's a summer movie.
I know. Because it's set at Christmas. Came out in the summer, though. Yeah. The Avengers, Batman, E.T., Iron Man. Ghostbusters, Pirates of the Caribbean. Whatever. Yeah.
Actually, what am I talking about? The first one was fine. It's fun.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, The Bourne Identity, Inception,
oh,
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, okay. I bet is Inception, that's the highest brow film on our list? Would we say that?
Probably, I guess. Then Gremlins, Lion King, Mad Max Fury Road.
Good job, somebody.
Temple of Doom, Toy Story 3. And then these are all ones that got two or more votes. And then the last one that got two more votes that also is the only one that technically was not a summer movie was The Matrix, which was released on March 31st, 1999.
And then it just hung out all summer, right?
Yeah, it was. And I think if enough people have said it, I don't think I would have disqualified it because it was popular during the summer. But enough people didn't say it anyway. But yeah.
Right. And it's one of those that was it surprised people.
It did, yeah.
Ex Machina is
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. Oh my gosh, Ex Machina. It's hanging out nicely this summer in some art houses.
A little sleeper hit. So that's
good to see. Yeah. So yeah, if you guys still haven't seen that one, go see it on the big screen.
And now I'll run down quickly the list of everything that got just one vote.
Okay.
Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Bull Durham, Top Gun, World War Z, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, The Thing, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, the very final one, Blade Runner, Shrek, Transformers, I assume that was sarcastic, Spider-Man, Fast Five, Airplane, The Iron Giant, Mission Impossible, Men in Black, The Fifth Element, Alien, the first one, Minority Report, The Abyss, Con Air, The Mummy, Spaceballs, and Rat Race. Again, I assume sarcastic.
Huh.
There you go. Right. But yeah, very, very clear top four. Jurassic Park, nice. Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Star Wars.
Oh, man. So every time that you've done Mount Rushmore, you've failed.
Every time
in guessing the first four, just
every Mount Rushmore we've done, other than this one, was and then hard to
every,
guess. Yes,
every time that I've done Mount Rushmore,
it was an easier one. Yeah.
Well, the question of the week. We should say the question of the week for next week.
Yeah. What is it?
That was good. Also, once again, we will be requesting a little Photoshop help for a Mount Rushmore poster.
Yes.
So we can, and we'll give you credit for it. So we'll put that on Facebook. And hopefully somebody will come up with it. Also, Eric, give me the top eight in order.
Oh, all right. Jurassic Park, Jaws.
Oh, no, not what? Me. Not now. Like, send it to me.
Oh.
And I'll add it to the
Seems like a lot of work.
I know. Sorry. See, you didn't realize how much work it is.
That's true.
Besides tallying, there was a second part.
Oh, my gosh. And I got to send you an email with, like,
information? I'm sorry. Okay? I'm sorry.
It's all right.
The question of the week for next week.
There, done. Yes, what's the question of the week for next week?
It is dedicated to the exciting news that Entourage is hitting the big screen. What TV show is most deserving of a movie? What TV show is most deserving? You can give casting tips. You can give plot points. You can give reasons why. I know my answer.
Are we saying that has not already been made into a movie?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
We are saying that.
All right. TV show.
There we go.
That has not been made into one that most deserves.
Most deserves. And that'll be up on our Facebook page. And you can also email us. Where would they email us?
MovieBSPDX@gmail.com.
You can find our Facebook and stuff like that going to MovieBS.com. We just talked about how I was really good at the Mount Rushmore thing that we just did.
About how this one was really easy, yeah.
Is there anything else we can talk about like one being better than the other at something? Maybe what's that summer thing we're doing?
That summer box office challenge, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, let's focus on that for a little bit.
Yeah, your lead is diminishing quickly. And this weekend, let's say here's where we are now. So far, 5 of my movies have come out.
Half.
Yes, 5 of mine have come out, and they total $184 million. So far,
that doesn't sound bad.
So far, you've only had one movie. That's how bad you are. You've only had one movie come out so far. I've had 5. And your one movie.
I have to try harder. Your one movie,
Avengers Age of Ultron, made $191 million.
I do not have to try harder.
You're currently ahead by $7 million. However.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, this weekend, San Andreas is going to make all the money. So then I'll be way ahead, and you'll be catching up. And here's what's going to happen. You got Ted 2, which is going to be a flop. Nobody's seeing Ted 2.
All right, gotcha.
It's going to be the disaster of the summer. It's going to be this year's Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay.
And then you've also got Terminator Genesis and Magic Mike XXL, which both open on Wednesdays.
July 1st.
Yeah, so you're going to lose.
Fourth of July weekend is, in general, fairly big for movies. So we'll have to see if that maintains.
We'll see.
It's going to be interesting because you have San Andreas and you have Spy.
Mm-hmm.
Before I have anything coming up next,
yes.
So you'll have a cushion.
Yeah,
you'll have a cushion. And we'll see how
I will have. I will have developed a sizable lead by that point. Yeah.
Yes. You know what? I'm not kidding when I say this. There's a chance that San Andreas. I mean, there's nothing else this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a chance it goes like for $70-75 million.
There's Aloha. There's Aloha, but you and I both forgot that it existed. So.
No. America does not realize Aloha is something that they will like be needing to see opening weekend. They've sold San Andreas to the public. So San Andreas could be really big.
Yeah.
It could.
It's still anyone's game. Still anyone's game.
Technically.
It is not mathematically impossible yet. Not by a long shot.
No. If San Andreas if it doesn't make more than $50 million, will you finally admit you're in trouble?
I would admit in that case that I am in trouble, yes.
Okay. All right. That's all I'm looking forward to.
I do need to say, everyone, you greatly disappointed me. I was let down by America weekend when only $33 million worth of people saw Tomorrowland. I'm not saying Tomorrowland deserved a lot more money. But I'm saying that I really thought more of you would see it. And the same goes for Poltergeist.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had Poltergeist ahead of Tomorrowland. Poltergeist was the 11th overall. Tomorrowland was the 15th overall.
And back when I chose Poltergeist a month ago, I thought it was going to be a big hit. That was before I realized that the studio was dumping it and trying not to let people see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was unaware that was their strategy.
For the first time ever, I've heard the Vacation trailer.
Oh, yeah?
I saw it
before San Andreas.
I think it was San Andreas that it played. I couldn't even remember. So I closed my eyes and listened to it. The crowd was very happy to be watching that trailer.
It was a funny trailer. Yeah.
There we go.
That's another one that also comes out on a Wednesday, so you're going to miss the first 2 days of that, too.
I heard the line about, I haven't even heard of the first Vacation.
Yeah. This Vacation is going to stand on its own, yeah.
That was very playful. That was very 21 Jump Street-esque.
It was. The trailer also confirmed, and we talked about this before, and someone on Twitter was arguing with me, that this is not a reboot of the Vacation franchise. It is a sequel.
This is a sequel.
It's a sequel.
Yeah.
It's not a reboot. It's a sequel.
Now, this is the only issue with sequel is would you have called European and Christmas Vacation sequels?
Yeah, because those are the same characters. Played by different actors, some of them, but they were
Here's the thing. Russ is younger in Vacation than he is in Vacation and European.
Does he look younger or do they give his age in the movie?
He's officially 100. You look at him and he has to be younger.
Well, then, then it's a prequel.
Vacation's a prequel. Interesting. Interesting wrinkle, potentially. I don't know. Maybe somebody can figure out that universe for us.
But this is definitely just a
hang on.
What?
I think Russ is older than Aubrey. I don't know. I think Russ is older than her in the first one, but then not the next. And the second one, but not the third. So there's that wrinkle as well. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So this is a continuation of that world because the lead is Russ.
Yeah, he's the grown-up
played
Russ.
By Ed Helms.
Right. Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo are his parents. Right. And they specifically say in this movie, they say, when I was a kid, I went on this vacation as featured in the film National Lampoon's Vacation. And yeah.
Which I bet they won't reference European or Christmas. So therefore,
that's possible. So
it's probably simply a sequel to the first.
That one, that's possible. Yeah. They might disregard the others.
Which isn't somebody else doing that right now? Isn't Jurassic World supposedly going to disregard 2 and 3?
I don't know about that. I hadn't heard that. Maybe.
And I think Twitter was upset about that or caring about that or not caring at all about that. One of the three options.
I know they were concerned about Chris Pratt wearing eyeliner.
Are you serious?
He seems to wear eyeliner in the trailer, yeah.
Who cares?
Well, I don't know. People weren't mad. They're just like, what's up with that? And I have to agree. I'm like, what's up with that?
Oh, like the SNL sketch?
Like, what's up with that? Yeah. Yeah. What is up with that?
As long as Jason Sudeikis comes out in a tracksuit and does the running man, that's all I need in life.
So it's time to play a game now, yeah? Is that what we do?
All right. I like games.
Let's play us a round of Pitch Me.
Oh, Pitch Me. Cue the music.
Pitch me, pitch me. Now's the time we play Pitch Me. Take a couple actors and we'll put them in a movie.
So the way we play Pitch Me is that we will get a genre suggestion from a friend of ours, and we'll each think of an actor, and we'll make up a movie with those actors in that genre. Have you found someone to give us the genre?
I found not only someone, the one, Daniel Mecca.
Ah, good old Dan Mecca.
Dan Mecca, who recently asked a lady to marry him, and she said yes.
Yeah. Getting married, Dan Mecca is, so congratulations to Dan Mecca.
It's about time. About time.
Well, they've been
very, very curious about this one.
Well, and they've been living in sin for a while now. So it's good that he's finally gonna make an honest woman of her. Yeah. Dan and Kelly. You have not met Kelly. I have.
Why are you doing that? Why are you bragging about that?
I'm just pointing out that I've met her. Because I'm a better friend than Dan. I've gone to New York. And I've hung out with him, and I met his girlfriend, fiance.
I thought Dan was the byproduct of you being at a film festival, as far as New York goes.
As far as what goes?
As far as New York goes.
Well, yes. But he he's one of my New York friends that I went to see, and there happened to be a film festival there at the time.
Oh, it happened to be that way.
Happened to be.
All right. Tell me something about Kelly. She sounds great.
She's funny. She's in a improv group.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that excited me when Dan told me that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She's one of those funny girls. All right. What does Dan give us for our genre? Or who's your actor?
My Anther. What does that mean? Anthony Michael Hall.
Okay. And mine is Carla Gugino.
Oh.
And what's our genre?
Cold War spy thriller.
Cold War spy thriller. Ooh.
All right. This is what I was thinking about right after I picked Anthony Michael Hall. This is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know how he's somebody who is a physically fit man now?
Yeah.
He's always in good shape when he's appeared in TV or movies. Cold War spy thriller. I want him to be captured and made scrawny again.
Oh.
Because I want the teenager that we all loved, the nerd.
Mm. Well, you know, he's still going to be an older man, though.
I don't care.
He's not going to look like a teenager, no matter how
skinny
he gets.
I'm just saying I want that to be a part of this movie. Let's work that out.
All right, fine. So he's like a prisoner of war situation where he's starved?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's a spy. Oh.
That's an odd thing to wish on someone, but okay.
I need to see what it would be like if that version of Anthony Michael Hall grew up and became a man instead of this one that we have.
All right.
I miss the other Anthony Michael Hall.
Well, you can't go back in time, Jeff.
Maybe that's what this Cold War spy thriller is all about, Eric.
Going back in time? Going back in time to the Cold War? That's true, because the Cold War, he was a teenager in the 80s when there was the Cold War. So
does he have to – no, this is all too confusing. No, stop.
Okay, sorry. Carla Gugino, is she like some badass CIA operative who's going to come rescue him?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
She's rescuing him. Uh-huh. He used to be – guess what he was?
What?
He was the best of the best.
Oh.
You know what? It'd be a little obvious because of Homeland, but not everybody has seen Homeland. Maybe he could be secretly turned.
Oh.
Like so skinny and then eventually beaten down and like, you know. He's turned.
Oh, like in the course of when he gets skinny and they capture him, then in the course of that he becomes an enemy, becomes a Soviet?
Okay. Yes. And we don't know this until the very end, and it's very shocking. The end.
Okay. Well, you just gave away the ending. You just spoiled it.
I know.
So she's going in there to rescue him, not knowing that he has turned.
That's
right. So when she gets there to rescue him.
And not only that, this is off the books. Like, if she doesn't rescue him, like, nobody's going to come and get her.
They will disavow,
If things go bad,
That's what happened to him. That's how he got in the situation in the first place. He went in there to do some kind of mission that was total off the books, and he got captured, and the CIA did disavow him, and that kind of contributed to his bitterness. It's like, you people left me here.
That's right.
So he turned, and so then now Carla Gugino comes to rescue him, and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, she does. She brings him home.
Oh, she successfully brings him home.
And then at the end of the movie is when we, the audience, realize he's turned.
While he was in captivity, his allegiance is turned.
Yeah.
But so what's he going to do? Does he have a plan?
Oh, that's in the sequel. I don't know.
Mm.
Like, it's a cliffhanger.
But then that means the movie ends with our hero having successfully done her thing, only it's for naught.
Doesn't feel good, does it?
No, that's a sad ending. We don't like that.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? That's life. If she doesn't know that it was for nothing.
What if
she's got to find? She has to find out.
What if Sam Jackson shows up at the end and tells her?
And
that way she knows, and it's like, oh, now she's going to do something about it.
But there has to be resolution in this story. We can't see.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
She finds okay. Actually, how's this?
So we think here's what it is. Everything about this movie feels like it's over.
All right.
And then there's a really exciting moment where she's chasing after him or something. How would she chase after him? That would be interesting and unique and exciting.
They're both on segues.
I was gonna say, what if he's meeting like the president?
Oh,
and it's going to be an assassination attempt.
And she somehow figures out, she realizes that his allegiances have turned. So she has to save the president's life.
Yes.
By stopping this guy. She winds up, she has to kill him. And as he's dying, like in her arms, and he expresses regret for it all. And she's sad that she went through all that trouble to save him. And he had turned and he's very remorseful. It's a very sad ending.
Yeah.
And it winds up being a commentary on how, you know, we sent him over there and then we left him high and dry.
Are we taking care of our men?
We need to take care of our people.
That's what's going on. That's right.
Yeah. Mm. It's one of those that makes you think. Makes you think this movie does.
And it's called He's a Spy. No.
He's a Traitor. The Traitor.
Yeah, The Traitor.
It's the Cold War, the spy rescue.
To Russia, not with love, but with sadness and regret. That seems
yes.
too long.
It's a little unwieldy. We can whittle that down.
Even colder than you thought. War.
Rush into judgment.
Oh, okay. That's where we're going now?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
That's Pitch Me. That's how it works. You can play this game at home with your families or at parties or in church youth groups. Or
I'm just really happy that in this scenario we get skinny Anthony Michael Hall.
I know that was your main concern for the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a monkey's paw situation there. I think you are not going to be happy with what that looks like.
I will be the judge.
If you want,
and here's the thing.
You want 47-year-old Anthony Michael Hall to be as skinny as he was as 16-year-old. I just don't think you're going to like what that looks like.
But that's okay because that fits into the movie then. Of,
yes.
Oh, man, poor guy.
Is that what you want, though? Is that what you want? You want to see him and be sad? That's what you want?
I just want to see it, and then it's up to me to decide officially if I'm sad or not. Okay?
All right.
All right.
Fair enough. He, by the way, is one of the current people that I have blindness for. I can even see his name in the credits at the beginning of the movie or TV show and then still not know that that's him when I see him. I just I don't know what he looks like as an adult. I just don't know, even though I keep seeing him.
Hmm.
It's a little interesting fact about me.
There we go.
Yeah, that's all. That's how you play Pitch Me, and then that's all we have to say. We're done with stuff.
Yeah.
To recap, San Andreas is about earthquakes, lots of big destruction. Seems like maybe your opinion of it may depend on how much you really like this sort of thing anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree.
Aloha, you totally forgot that there was a screening of it, so you didn't see it. No, that was me.
That was you.
You saw it.
I did. I saw it, and it was all right.
Thanks to the babysitter.
Yeah.
Really, the babysitter is the MVP of this scenario.
Get one. I recommend it.
I don't need one. I usually can take care of myself.
Ah, did you hear what you said?
Usually, I know. I've done the cost-benefit analysis. I would not need a babysitter often enough for it to be worth the money it would cost me to have one.
That's probably right.
What I really need is an intern.
You know what I've found?
Hmm.
Most babysitters do not pick up anymore. It's not a thing that babysitters do.
Pick up.
Like the toys once the kid is down.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. They do not clean up, pick up, put away as much as you would think.
Not like they did in the old days.
That's right. You know, in the old days, man.
Kids these days. You know what? Kids these days.
Yep.
That's all I have to say.
Yep.
You know what I actually need? I need one of those guys like what's his name on Veep? Played by the guy who was on Arrested Development. What's it? Tony Hale. I need one of those guys. I need a Tony Hale.
You need a Hale.
And just sort of linger around and whisper things to
right,
me.
Right. I need that for like telling me previous conversations that I've had mm-hmm. with people. That's what I need.
That's what I am for you when we're at film festivals and stuff.
Almost constantly.
Yeah. What's that person's name? Okay. What?
Yeah. Have I met them before?
It'll be someone that you've hung out with many times.
Yes. And not only that, I've had like I would say close to personal conversations with, mm-hmm. because I get bored with ordinary conversation very easily.
Yeah.
So I get very specific with people very quickly. If I kind of like them, I'll just dive deep into something, and then I will move on, and my brain will move on very much so,
mm-hmm.
and then you will fill in the blank for me later in life.
The blank, just little blanks like the person's name.
Yeah. You know, I don't love it when you make me feel bad when I don't remember, because I already feel bad that I'm asking.
Sorry. I know.
And you give me that look of disappointment where you're like, you're better than this, Jeff.
You are better than that. That's the thing. You are.
I'm not. No, that's the thing.
You
are.
You could be.
I'm good at some things. I'm not good at other things. And that particular thing seems really hard to figure out for me, because I've done the thing where it's like I got to say this person's name out loud when I'm in the conversations mm-hmm. with them over and over again. I've got to try to remember three things about them.
Whatever the case may be, it doesn't stick. You could be, but you can't give up. You must never give up.
If I don't see you, a human being, once a month, there is probably a 50% chance that I've forgotten your name.
Well,
that's my life, and I'm sorry. I still care for you.
Allegedly.
Right.
He still cares. He still cares for you, anonymous person, mm-hmm. who might be a different person.
Yeah.
Oh, question of the question of the week. What was question of the week? Oh, what movie? What TV show deserves to be a movie?
Yep.
Unlike Entourage, I think is the unspoken last part of that question.
Oh, wow. I've seen every episode of Entourage. I will say that.
That is, I have seen zero episodes of Entourage.
Oh.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And that's the show. We're done now. Hey, till next week. For Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.